Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Hi. We're going to do that one more time because it's kind of a special day. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. After that song, it's kind of mellow and it's got an awesome message. But I want you guys with me today because there's a few times, I'm just going to tell you right ahead, there's a few times you're going to need to applaud. I know that might freak some of you out. There's a few times you may even shout like amen or mm-hmm or something like that because it's one of those days. And so I'm going to walk by and this is going to be distracting, right? It's distracting to me. But our projector blew up again. Well, by the way, welcome to Freshwater if you're new today. Right? I'm JT Patton. I'm the pastor here. But our projector blew up again. We had these awesome videos for you. And now we have to have this down on the floor. And I'm going to walk by and blind myself constantly because there's some verses I want you guys to have today. But we're not here to celebrate videos today, right? Right, we're here to celebrate something completely different. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to John 1. John 1, if you don't know where that is, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts in the New Testament. We're going to get there eventually, but you've probably already noticed today's a special day, right? Has that come up yet? Today's a special day? Yeah, today we get to celebrate that we've been in Tom Watkins neighborhood as Freshwater Church for 2 years. This is where you clap. Yeah, see? Usually I'm too ashamed to ask for clapping up here, but since we're celebrating that, I don't feel bad about that. So really quickly before we get going, before I forget, we're having a barbecue right after this, right? Well, we need to know if we need to go get some more food. So everybody was bringing different things today, so don't feel like you're letting us down if you don't raise your hand right now. We just need to know who brought what. So how many of you have brought a side today, like a side dish? Hands way up so we can count. Okay, so how many of you guys brought drinks? Brought drinks. Are we good, Matt? Well, we need to know that. We want to make sure we have enough food for everybody here. Okay, so let's get rolling today. All right, so if you're here new, if you're new today, we're so thankful that you're here today. I know there's a few people I didn't get to meet before the service. Please stay for the barbecue and then come find me after the service. I'd love to meet you, find out how you ended up here. But if you're new or haven't been with us before, I need to tell you a little secret. We started this church 2 years ago and had absolutely no idea what we were doing. Like, I just want to get it out there, just so you know. Like, we literally had no one on our launch team that had any significant church leadership background. Like, none. And here's another secret. Some of you probably don't know this. I didn't go to seminary, right? I'm not a seminary guy. I'm not actually classically trained to be a pastor, right? I never wanted to be a pastor. That was never my goal, to be a pastor. And then I did this stupid thing where I said to God, God, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'm done living for myself. I'm going to live for you. And now I'm standing up here today, and God's qualified me to be a pastor of this church. It's insane. So if you didn't know, I still have a full-time job. I still work outside of this. Everyone that works at Freshwater, everybody that does anything here is completely volunteer because we don't know how to do church. We don't know the right way to do church here. It's why we meet in an elementary school that's probably 50 or 60 years old, right? It's why we don't really do anything to make this place look really pretty. I don't know if you've noticed that. I know that stage is beautiful, but we didn't, you know, build it for church, right? It was just already there 60 years ago, right? It's why you're sitting in hard chairs right now, right? Because we don't know how to do church, at least not in the traditional sense. But here, here's what we do know. We know that Jesus died for our sins and that we are only redeemed by his blood on the cross. That's all we actually know, that we are lost without him and that we are found in him. And when we came to launch this church, we like, you know, that's enough. Because Jesus told a group of people at a church in Bolivar, hey, God, like it felt like God was literally saying this. We didn't hear his audible voice. I don't want to freak you out. But we felt like God was strongly telling us, hey, there's this neighborhood in Northwest Springfield called Tom Watkins Neighborhood. And that neighborhood needs to know how much I love them. I want them to know how much I love them. So a group of people said, we'll go. We'll go. We'll go and tell those people how much you love them. And so a lot of you in this room live in Tom Watkins neighborhood because God had a mission for your neighborhood. He wanted the gospel to be preached in your neighborhood. That's the only reason we're here today. We actually, I'm telling you, we didn't really know what we were doing. We read a few books and talked to a few pastors, but nobody had a background in this. We just said yes to God, and now we're here 2 years later. It's insane. From an untrained pastor and an untrained leadership team. But somehow it works. You know why? You know why it works? Because of the vision God gave us. Now, I'm going to give you our mission statement here in a second. Matt talked about it before the sermon. But Cornelius, can you put up Psalm 115? I'm going to try to stay out from in front of it, if I can manage. This verse right here defines who we are as a church. Right, I'll give you our mission statement, but read it with me. Not to us, O Lord. Listen, not to us. To your name be the glory. For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithful. Does that sum up so succinctly who we are? Listen, we're of fresh water now. We could care less about that. We're not about people thinking that we're good people, right? It's not about that. We're not, listen, take this the right way. We're not about you, and we're not about your comfort and filling all of your needs. If that was true, you wouldn't be sitting in those hard chairs right now. We are about that right there. We're about making much of God and his faithfulness and his steadfast love and bringing him glory. That's who we are as a church. And it's not about convincing people on the outside of this church that we're good, moral citizens. It has nothing to do with us giving God glory. That's our vision. That's our mission. That's why we exist. That's why we're created. And it's the best news in the universe, because so often we make it all about us. We let ourselves down all the time, but God never lets us down. His steadfast love never lets us down. And so we're all about the glory of God. We're all about the mission of God. And you know what? If you know anything about us, we do a lot of things outside of this church. Man, we love the needy, we love the poor, we love those in trouble, we love serving those who need help, we love serving each other. But it's not about us. We don't do that to make our name great. 1 Chronicles 16:24 says this: declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. Right? That's why we do what we do. Listen. Like, a lot of churches like to go do things to make themselves, to make themselves feel better about themselves, like they're good people. We know we're not good people. We know that God's good. It's because of that right there. That's why we go to the nations. That's why we go on mission trips in Mexico. That's why we're constantly telling you, wherever you are, in your neighborhood, at your job, in Tom Watkins, in William Elementary School, wherever you go, tell people about Jesus. Because it's not about you, it's about him. He'll give you the strength. He'll empower you. That's why our mission statement here is glorify God and advance the gospel. It's glorify God and advance the gospel. Because when you truly understand that the only thing in this universe that even deserves any glory is God, that it's not about you, it's about him, it'll drive everything else in your life. All that joy and fulfillment, all that stuff that you're searching for and focusing on you that you're not going to find, it's found right here in glorify God and advance the gospel. And when we bring glory to God, it will naturally drive us to want to tell other people about Jesus, because the closer you draw to God's glory, the more you understand who he is and how much he loves you and how much he loves his people and how good his character is, and it will drive you to step outside of yourself and share Jesus with other people. But here's the truth about that. Glorify God and advance the gospel. Here's the truth. That's kind of a churchy thing to say, isn't it? Because, like, what do you tangibly do with God's glory? What do you tangibly do with this word, the gospel? All right, how do you live that out in real life? So we want to talk about that today, right? We don't want to just leave it up like this churchy language up here, like we don't know what that actually means. Because what's it going to really drive if we don't really get it? And so if you want to, we're going to talk about, how do I live out giving God to glory every single day? So I'm going to read a verse here in just a second, and it's going to give us the first steps. It's not the whole picture, but it's the first steps of how do we live for God's glory every single day of our lives. Cornelius, put up Psalm 105. Psalm 105 says this, read with me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. So that gets us a lot closer to what it is to live for the glory of God, right? Make God's deeds known. Sing praises to God because it's about him. Did you just notice the songs that we just sang? Did any of those songs talk about you at all? Did any of those songs, like, were they all, any of them geared to make you feel like, so you could walk out of here and feel great about yourself? Now, they lifted my spirits. I feel great singing those songs, man. I felt fantastic singing those songs. You know what? They were every single song. That's how our worship team leads. Every single song was about God's glory and who he is. We let ourselves down. God will never let us down. We are not faithful. God is faithful. So everything we do here is geared towards God, man. It says, sing his praises, make his deeds known, and listen, rejoice in the Lord. Now, when you really start to understand this and God starts changing your heart, man, you just want to rejoice in who he is and what he's done. You want to rejoice in his strength. You're not strong enough. But here's the secret. Like, people don't tell you in church, you're not supposed to be strong enough. Do you know that? Like, it's all this, like, when society pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just be a better person and just do better. And how dare you do that thing? That is not in scripture anywhere. It's about God's strength. It's about what he does for his people. It's about his glory. Man, we focus on ourselves. We make ourselves miserable. I'm going to say that over and over and over. We chase after our own lives. Man, we chase after God's glory. Everything in our lives changes. But listen, Chasing after God's glory in this church is more than just singing praises to God, which we should do, and rejoicing in his strength and enjoying his presence. Man, when we talk about the glory of God, how do we really chase the glory of God? How do we go full out chasing God's glory? Well, I told you to turn in your Bibles to John 1, right? I'll go ahead and open that up. John 1. I didn't say this at the beginning of the service, but if you don't have a Bible, we have some in the back. If you want one now, just raise your hand and somebody will bring you one. If you don't own one, we'd love to give you one. And so John 1, let's start in verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Who's that talking about? Say it again, Mary. Jesus. Did you hear that? Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Man, we were born of God. Verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me ask you again, who's that talking about? Jesus, right? All who believe in him, all who receive him, all who cry out his name become children of God. Man, we don't wrap our heads around what that really means to be a child of God. And it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that, man, that Jesus actually became flesh. People actually audibly, physically, emotionally, physically got to encounter Jesus Christ because Jesus was the incarnate God, which means God actually became flesh. And we see in Jesus the personification of God's truth and grace. You want to know who God is? Man, you look to Jesus. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. This is a defining verse for our church. This is one of my favorites. You'll hear it again. You've heard it before. It's Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1:3. He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God. Man, I just love that. Right, Jesus just radiates who God is. You want to know who God is? Jesus is the picture. He is the picture of his glory. You want to chase glory? You chase Jesus. Keep going. And the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the power of his word. After making a purifications of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Church, this is why we call ourselves a gospel-centered church, right? We are a gospel-centered church because Jesus is the radiance. He is the imprint. He is the exact nature of God. He is the yes and the amen to God's glory. You want to understand God's character, you look to Jesus. You want to understand how much God loves you, man, look to Jesus. You want to see how much God passionately loves the lost and is chasing after them, chasing after the lost, chasing after those who aren't in his family. Man, you look to Jesus. Man, you want to live for an eternity with God in heaven. Man, you look to Jesus. By chasing after Jesus, guys, with everything in us, by letting the truth of what he did on the cross wash over us and change us, by lifting up the glory of Jesus Christ, man, that's where we find our purpose, that's where we find the vision for our church, and that's where we find our mission, because we don't need any other mission. Do you get that? When we can make plans and we can make these things, but chasing after Jesus and God's glory with everything in us, God will tell us exactly where we need to go, exactly what we need to do. And he's done it from the beginning of Freshwater. He's answered prayer after prayer after prayer because we're chasing the personification of God himself, Jesus Christ. Man, like I said before, when we started this church, man, we didn't know what we were doing. So what? So what? We knew that we wanted to, man, spread God's glory by chasing and telling people about the renown of Jesus Christ, and it was enough. And we prayed that God would do that for us and that he would empower us and he would give the vision that we need to do that. And you know what? He answered that prayer. He's answered that prayer over and over. I'll talk a little bit more about the prayers that he's answered, but he's answered prayers to do that over and over and over. Now, have we done it perfectly? Not even close. In fact, we've messed some things up along the way, right? But let me ask you, are we expected as a church or as a people or as individuals to do this thing perfectly? Because I think some of you immediately like, no, we're not. But so often we live our lives that way. And so often doesn't church feel that way? That we're supposed to go in and pretend like everything's good and everything's perfect and we got everything under control and we're not struggling in life and we're not broken and we're not messed up and sin isn't owning us and we don't have terrible past and we haven't done terrible things in the past. Man, that's religious thinking, but it doesn't line up with Scripture whatsoever. God's not surprised that you're not perfect. Look at Romans 3, 23 through 24. Read that with me. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Did you hear that? All of us, everyone falls short of the glory of God. We are justified by his grace as a gift. Are we justified and saved because we do a really good job? What? We're saved completely by grace. It's a gift from God through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. I said at the beginning of this thing that we're not trying to be good people here. Because compared to God's holiness and goodness, and compared to Jesus Christ's holiness and goodness, none of us are good. Right? We just simply don't measure up. And we walk into church and we walk into other places and we want people to think we're good. And you know what? I've talked to a lot of people in this room. I've talked to a lot of atheists, agnostics, Christians. And you know what I found? Most people, not all, but most people know that they're not all that good. They know they've done some good things, and they hope it outweighs the bad things, that if God is real, the good will outweigh the bad. But most people are desperate to be a better person than they are. And we've been walking through the book of Ecclesiastes, man, if this may not make sense, but trying to chase after that by yourself is like chasing after the wind. You can't grab it. You can't do it. Man, God is perfect. God is holy. God is sinless. And you know what? Because of that, man, God hates sin. And sin freaks some people out, like that God hates sin and that God judges sin, like God's not loving. Listen to me, that's the most loving thing that God can do is judge sin. Listen, sin has broken this world. Every day on the news, we see the depravity that happens in this world every single day. Kids being killed and abused, terrible things happening in the Middle East, people being beheaded. And for some of you, you have terrible stories. Terrible things have happened to you. If your past is suffering and people hurting you and being sinned against, do you want a God who doesn't care about that? Do you want a God who doesn't hate that? That hate that you've been abused or been hurt or been neglected or been abandoned. Don't you want God to hate those things? Of course he hates those things because it's against his very nature. Everything that God is, sin is the opposite of that, and God hates it, and he has wrath for it, and he has judgment for it because he wants us to be called away from that. In the Old Testament, God, man, does... it's not even my. We're on a script here. You guys ready? In the Old Testament, God does some crazy things, doesn't he? I mean, you look at the Old Testament, you're like, what was God doing? But you know, God warned his people over and 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 said, if you don't walk away from this sin that is wrecking you, I'm going to destroy you for your own good. I'm going to destroy you because I love you. So the people after you can be called back to me where joy and fulfillment and truth is found. You're chasing a lie. God doesn't want us chasing a lie. So he has wrath and judgment for sin. All sin. But wait a minute. We just said that, like, well, God is not surprised that we're not perfect. But he judges all sin, right? So how do those two things match up? That God has wrath and judgment for all sin, even one sin, and holds us accountable to that. Yet it says in Scripture all the time that we can't measure up to that. How does those two things go together? That's kind of hard to wrap your mind around, isn't it? He expects all of this out of us, but we can't do it. You know what the answer is? God provides for us what he expects from us. Did you hear that? God himself provides for us what he expects from us. You listen, you were never supposed to do this alone. You were never just supposed to be good or do better. And what he provided for us, do you know what he provided for us? Man, he provided for us a savior because we're all going to fall short. He provided the way for us to be righteous and holy and blameless in his sight, and his name is Jesus Christ. Man, that's why we celebrate Jesus. That's why we celebrate Jesus all the time. Man, think about it. Jesus came down out of perfection. Jesus was not a new creation. It says in Scripture, it said there in Hebrews, that he was there at creation. He helped God create everything. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all working together. And when this whole thing happened, man, God looks down and we needed a rescuer. Man, Jesus came down out of heaven where he was ruling and reigning in perfection and took on this jalopy of a body. Man, our bodies are just broke down messes, aren't they? There's a lot of people that have a broke down mess body in this room right now. And Jesus came down and he took on one of these bodies and he lived the life that we should have lived. Man, Jesus' whole life, he poured out his life for the sake of others. I've said this the last 4 weeks in a row. I've never met a person who didn't love what Jesus taught and what Jesus did. People just don't like Christians. That's why they're not in church. No, I've never heard anyone say, man, what Jesus did, man, that's dumb. Because he poured out his whole life to serve other people. And he was completely obedient to his Father. And he never sinned against anyone. Even though he was tempted, he never sinned. He never fell short of the glory of God. His life was perfect. He lived the life that we should have lived. And that's why he could die the death that we should die. The death that we deserve to die, Jesus Christ died on the cross. Because he was perfect. Because he was righteous. Man, that's why we can all have forgiveness of sins. That's why we chase after Jesus so much. Because we all fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus never did. That's why we celebrate in church, man, that we can all be forgiven. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how ugly that past of yours is, in Jesus Christ, it's all forgiven. Man, you are washed new. That's why, you know, that's why we celebrate baptism. Man, it's a representation of going under the water and coming out a brand new person because Jesus washes it away. It's like it never existed, but it's more than that. Man, the gospel is more than that. It's not just that you gave Jesus your sin on the cross, because that's exactly what you did. As he hung on the cross, he took the bullet from God for you. He stepped in the way and let you give him all of his sins. But you know, it's more than that. He didn't just take your sins. He gave you his righteousness. And that's one of the things that we sometimes forget. Man, you want to walk in freedom. You want to understand who you are. You really want to believe that you're a child of God. Man, you believe the fact that Jesus gave you his holiness, his blamelessness, his righteousness. It's one of the greatest truths of the Bible. So when God looks at you, when you sin, when you fall short, he doesn't see dirty, sinner, failure. He sees holy, righteous, blameless. Another way to say that is he looks at you and he says, not guilty. Not guilty. It's an amazing truth. Because you know, you and I both know we don't deserve that. But that's the gift of grace. It has nothing to do with deserve. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But God extends it. But it gets better. Right? That's the good news. That's the gospel. It gets better than that. It's not just that Jesus took our sins. It's not that he just gave us his righteousness. But Jesus rose 3 days later, didn't he? He died and he rose. Man, and when he rose, he showed that sin and death has no power over him. And then Jesus says, I'm giving you that power, so that has no power over us. Man, we have the power to walk away from sin. We have the power to become new people, to become better people, because we're chasing after Jesus Christ. Man, at this church, we don't make good people. We make Jesus people. Because the more you become like Jesus, the more, man, you celebrate God's glory, the more you become like God, man, the more good you are in this world, the more victory that you have. Man, the gospel, that's the gospel, man, that Jesus died, that he forgave us, that he gave us his righteousness, and that he gave us his power. We don't have to fear sin, and we don't have to fear death, because we are his children, man, and we are going to be with him in heaven forever. When we stand before God, and he looks at everything we did in our life, man, Jesus is going to be standing with us, and he's like, yeah, that one's mine. Righteous, blameless. Come on in. You're with me forever because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Man, that's the gospel. You know, the gospel literally translates the good news. And church, you believe it. We are a good news church. You're going to hear the gospel every single week, man. That's the mission that we've been given, man, to live for God's glory by spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. But secondly, how does that mission play out? Man, what are we chasing in that? Man, Jesus said this himself in Luke 5. Just listen to this. Luke 5, Jesus says this. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Church, you've heard me say this over and over, but we are not going to be a museum of church saints. We are going to be a hospital for sinners, because that's who Jesus came to chase. That's who he came to save. Man, this is a place, I've said this over and over, this is a place that it's okay for you not to be okay. Man, if you're lost, if you're broken, if you're caught up in sin, if you're confused, if you don't know about this whole Christianity thing, you don't know about this whole Jesus thing, man, this is a safe place for you because you're exactly who Jesus came to save and came to love. Man, nothing brings God more glory than people coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and then giving their lives and growing him. It literally says, the angels in heaven rejoice when people give their life to Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. So you think you're not good enough? Well, you know what? Jesus was. You think you're not holy enough? Jesus is. You think you're not faithful enough? Jesus is. You feel like you're too broken, man, you're too lost. You've done too many terrible things. Too many terrible things have been done to you. You've been selfish with your whole life. And you know what? It's okay. You're in the right place because you're who Jesus came to save. And you're, listen to me, you're surrounded by people who are just like you, who are broken just like you. And if any of us are any further along in our spiritual walk than you, that is only by the grace of God and Him redeeming us one step at a time, because it's only by His gift of grace that we're saved. It has nothing to do with anything else. Man, this is a place of broken people saying, I mean, I need a Savior. I need someone to redeem me. I need someone to save me. I need someone to wash me new so I can move forward out of this sin, because most of you have things in your life that you hate. They don't have to own you. They don't have to own you. Man, we did this thing a few weeks ago where people wrote down those cards. You remember that? When they wrote down on their the things that they hate the most in their life, that they want to walk away from, that they want freedom from, that they want to trust Christ more than they trust that thing from. And like 100 people wrote these things down. I'm telling you, you're a bunch of broken people. And I'm a broken person. And I sent out an email just to tell you, man, you're not alone. And church has become this thing where we walk in and we show up just in time for service and we sit down and we sing and we listen to a sermon and then we head out that week and it's really just about me and about my faith and, I mean, I love Jesus so I'm good to go. Man, that's not what it's about. It was never supposed to be that. Because you know what? That turns into you trying to do the whole thing by yourself. You put Jesus out of the equation, you put God out of the equation, you're like, I'm good. Listen, you know you're not good. I'm not good, you're not good. That's why God gave us Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's why He gave us each other. So that we could walk away from the things that own us. Man, you don't have to be a slave to those things. You don't have to be held back from those things. Let me just say this. If you're in here today, and you know that Jesus is not your Savior, or you're not sure that Jesus is your Savior, let me tell you, that can all change today. Right, you don't have to be owned by the things of your past anymore. You don't have to live in shame or guilt or that bad memories of your past. You can be set free by Jesus Christ today. He will redeem you. He will renew you. No matter what you've done, listen, or no matter what's been done to you, Jesus Christ can redeem you. He can save you. He can move you forward today. And man, you can have a life of real purpose. Man, without Jesus Christ, your life's a waste. In Jesus Christ, your life has eternal significance, and He wants you to be in His family. He wants you to be, man, when you get to heaven someday, and God to say, oh, no, that one's my son, that one's my daughter, come on in. Celebrate with me for an eternity. That's what we all want today. The only reason I can say that I'm that today is by the grace of Jesus Christ, and you can have the grace of Jesus Christ today, too, to change everything. Now, I got to continue on with my sermon, but just I want to tell you, man, I'm going to be in the back after the service. Man, right now, if you feel something stirring inside of you, that's God talking to you. That's God wooing you to His side because He is chasing after you. Don't you believe any different. Man, you don't understand everything about God. That's okay. Right now, He's chasing you. He'll teach you what you need to know. He'll change you one step at a time. But if you feel God calling to you, man, that's God wooing to you, man. Talk to me. Talk to a friend. Talk to somebody else. Don't let this go another day. Man, you're not guaranteed tomorrow, but everything in your life can change today. Let me move on. Man, but come join the family today. I would love to have you in the family today. If you know anything about us, you know that we're highly involved in the community. And we try to do as much as we possibly can for those in need and for the poor and for each other. Man, we take care of each other. Right, we're constantly looking at ways that we can not be about us, but be about God's glory and pour that out of these walls. But listen to me. If that man didn't die on that cross 2,000 years ago, none of that stuff that we do matters. It doesn't matter. Man, loving the poor and serving the needy and helping each other in this, none of that matters if Jesus didn't die on the cross 2,000 years ago, because we wouldn't be righteous before God. But because He did die, right? Because He did die. Man, we celebrate God's glory through Jesus Christ. And everything that we do from here on out in our community, the way we love our community, is because we love Jesus, and it's an outpouring of what He's doing in our lives to other people. Man, it has eternal significance. It goes from not mattering at all to mattering for an eternity. Man, Scripture's clear too, man. They're going to celebrate what the saints did in Jesus' name for an eternity. It will never end, that celebration. So don't feel like your life doesn't matter. Man, without Jesus, in Jesus Christ, your life has eternal significance. So here we are, church. not knowing a whole lot except for Jesus and him crucified. That's what we know for sure. And we have prayed over and over for God to show us the path of where we're supposed to go and what we're supposed to do. And you know what? He's answered that prayer over and over and over. Do you know, like, if you've been here before, you know this, but do you know that the fact that we meet in this gym is an answer to prayer? We were told it wasn't going to happen. We prayed. It did happen. Do you know that, like, our amazing relationship with Williams Elementary School, with the principal, with the teachers, man, that's an answer to prayer. Man, the fantastic relationship we have with the Tom Watkins Neighborhood Association, right, and the leaders in the community, man, that's an answer to prayer. The 50 pounds of meat that get delivered to Tom Watkins every other week, do you know what? Like, there's 50 pounds of meat that gets delivered to Tom Watkins every week because people don't have enough to eat. Do you know what? Nobody knew where that could come from or how we could do that, and we prayed. And then all of a sudden, I get a call. Hey, JT, can you do something with 50 pounds of meat? Oh yeah, for the last 2 weeks I've been praying for 50 pounds of meat, actually. Yeah, I'll take that. It was an answer to prayer. The fact that I can work full time and like have a family and have two young kids, right, that are involved in a lot of different stuff and still have time to pour out my life as your pastor, I'm telling you, that is an answer to prayer. I've told you before, this is the biggest joy of my life. I am not running to the ground. I am not tired all the time. I absolutely love this. How can I sustain all that? Because God is good and he answers prayer. And the fact that, you know what? There's 30 people in this church that lead something. I want you to think about that for a second. Whether 80 people in this room, 30 people, not involved. Everybody's involved here, right? Because that's who we are. When you chase God's glory, you're going to get involved in what he's doing, right? But 30 people help lead things at this church. That's insane, and that's an answer to prayer because this church couldn't exist without it. But you know what? We've been praying for God to do huge, epic things. Not just, man, these little things like 50 pounds of meat. That is nothing. God delivering 50 pounds of meat every other week to a neighborhood is nothing. We're praying for epic prayers. You know what God's answering? He's answering those prayers. I mean, a lot of you already know this, but I just want to take a time to make sure that you guys wrap your mind around this. Because a few months ago, I was talking to the leadership team. I was talking to some other people in church. And, you know, God's called us to a big mission. There's 1,900 homes in Tom Watkins. 1,900 homes. And you know what? There's a lot of people in Tom Watkins' neighborhood that are amazing, God-loving, neighborhood-serving, man, people. And some of those people are in this room right now. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. Like, some of those people are in this room right now, right? But if you're from Tom Watkins or you know anything about it, you know there's a whole lot of darkness there too. A lot of darkness. Like most neighborhoods in our city, right? And God's called us to fight that back, but we don't know how. Because you know what? Here's the truth. Our churches are not saviors. We're not heroes. And so we wanted to find a way to empower the people of Tom Watkins to love their neighbors. And I know a lot of you are in this room and you live in Tom Watkins, right? But we want to empower their neighbors, empower them to do the mission that God's called them to. And we want to do that in a way that was extremely healthy. But you know what? We don't know what we're doing. And you know, most churches don't love their neighborhoods like that. Like from the inside out, like getting involved and building relationships and getting to know people and being in it for 10, 15, 20 years, a whole generation. That's what our church is doing, but we don't know what we're doing. Because there's not a lot of people to give us advice. And so we're like, God, we need help. Man, we're just 80 people. The mission's way too big for us. We need support. We need someone to give us wisdom. You know, like I probably prayed, I think I told you, 3 weeks. I get a random email from Russ at Convoy of Hope. Do you know to this day, I still don't know how he got my email? I don't know how. He just emails me and says, you want to meet up and have lunch? Now, you guys all know what Convoy of Hope is? One of the biggest emergency relief organization, Christian organizations in the world. I mean, they go all over the United States, all over the world, helping people who are needy, right? They're an amazing organization. Every church in Springfield knows exactly who Convoy of Hope is, right? And I sit down with Russ, and he's one of the leaders at Convoy of Hope, and he's like, we're going in a different direction, and here's what we want to do. And he lays out the exact vision of Freshwater. He could have been preaching at our church when he's sitting there. And this is funny. I don't know if I've said this to all of you. Don't tell Russ I said this. But if Russ would have just stopped 5 minutes into his spiel and said, what's your church about? He was done. He could have finished. Because I could have just been like, this is who we're about. He'd be like, amen, right? And so Convoy of Hope, this huge organization that has a ton of influence, says, man, do you want to partner with us? Because we want to partner with you. Who are we for Convoy of Hope to partner with us? A 2-year-old church on the northwest side of town, the side of town that nobody pays attention to or cares about? But we prayed for God. And you know what? Russ has done some of the things that we're talking about before. He's been a part of some churches that are doing some of the things that we've done before. You know, neighbors helping neighbors happened because of our partnership with Convoy of Hope. We wouldn't have ever had enough volunteers to make that happen. If you don't know what Neighbors Helping Neighbors was, then we got 100 volunteers, over 100, together, and we went into Tom Watkins' neighborhood in like 25 or 30 homes, and we did housework, minor housework on the outside. We cleaned up yards. We picked up trash. And, you know, most importantly, we got to meet a ton of people and talk with them and hear their story and pray with them. And that was all empowered because of that partnership that happened with Convoy of Hope, because we had evangel students. We had Convoy people. We had Tom Watkins people. We had Freshwater people. And it all happened because God, listen, answered a prayer directly. Like, think about how amazing that is. Amazingly, that I get an email, a random email from the Convoy of Hope. It's insane. And I haven't told all of you guys this yet. This is how big God's thinking. I've said from the start, man, we have to pray for bigger things than we can imagine. For God to just do the same. Because you know what? God sees the whole plan. We don't. Tiny little church on a tiny little part of town in a tiny city in the United States. We don't see what God's doing, but he does. So we pray for epic things. So I don't know if I've told you this yet, but because of my relationship with Convoy of Hope, which was a direct answer to prayer, I've been asked and I've accepted a seat on the Springfield Civic Council team. It's a team of, It's a team of about 15 or 20, like, leaders in Springfield. I'm talking, like, politicians and, like, one of the heads of MSU and, like, the head of the Bar Association and me. Do you see how that, like, makes no sense at all that I'm there? So right now, I don't know if you know this, right now the entire leadership of the city are turning their attention to Zone 1, which is Tom Watkins' neighborhood, which is the northwest side of Springfield, which we've been praying for 2 years. Which, by the way, we've been here 2 years. Russ from Convoy got hired 2 years ago, and this whole idea in the city kind of started brewing 2 years ago. It was a bunch of coincidences, I'm sure. Nothing has anything to do with anything. So, but what's happening is these people are actually listening. Because the civic team is going to be in control of all volunteerism that the city of Springfield organizes. And they're listening to people like Russ from Convoy. And they're listening to people like me when we're saying, we've got to do this thing different. We can't just parachute in and do some things and think that's going to change things. We have to build relationships with people. And you know what? We have to empower people because we have to listen to the people that live there, not come in with what we think needs to happen. Man, if Tom Watkins is going to change, it's not going to come from like some city leader trying to parachute in and be a hero, right? Because there's already heroes in the neighborhood. They just need to be empowered and listened to. They're going to be the ones that change things. People that love Tom Watkins and live in Tom Watkins and are all about Tom Watkins. That's how things are going to change, right? That's how God's going to redeem, and that's how this side of town is going to thrive. And they actually are listening. You know what the craziest part of that is? I've been asked to be a part of that. A nobody. I'm a bivocational pastor without proper education, that works at a church that started 2 years ago in the forgotten part of the city. And somehow, some of the most powerful people in the city, all the way up to the mayor, are listening to what like we have to say as a church. Now just think about it for a second. Does that make any sense at all? Does that make any sense at all that we as a church would have a voice at that table? But it does start to make sense if you see what God's doing. It does start to make sense if you don't give the credit to us just being a good church or good people and saying, man, God's got this huge plan. God's got this epic plan. Guys, God is doing something huge in our city right now. And honestly, I just think he's showing off. Right? And we're going to let God show off because it's all about his glory, because he's the only one in the universe that has any right to show off whatsoever. Man, God's making his glory renowned right now in the city. And we've asked him for it. And he's answering because God is doing something huge. So where are we going in the future, church? Here's just the truth. We're going to go wherever God asks us to go. We're going to keep chasing his glory. We're going to keep making much of Jesus Christ. And he's going to keep answering prayers. And he's going to keep doing epic things. And right now, I don't know if you're ready for this, church. Our small little church plant is caught up in something epic right now. Like, he's got big plans for us. He is answering prayer after prayer after prayer right before our eyes. I don't know if you know how special this is. So many churches feel like they're dead. So many churches don't feel like they see God move. We are seeing him move right now. And he's asking that people like you and like me be a part of this story. this kind of story that's going to be told for an eternity. He's asking us to be a part of it. Who are we to be a part of this story? We're nobodies, but God's somebody. That's why we're not about being good people. We're about Jesus people, because if we're Jesus people, man, that changes everything, and we can change the world. You believe it. Right now, God is showing us that he's so much bigger than you think he is. Man, you believe that God can change the world, and we're just going to keep chasing God's glory and, man, and making the round of Jesus Christ known and advancing the gospel, because that's right where we need to be, right in the middle of God's beautiful embrace. Church, we've got to go on expecting God to do huge things, because our mission hasn't changed, and it's not going to change. Man, we're going to live to glorify God and advance the gospel by making Jesus' name renowned. And you know how that's going to happen? That's going to happen by people's lives being absolutely transformed by Jesus Christ. It's not some big special plan. We'll plan. It's not just some like special mission or special projects that we need to do. We'll do those things too. Man, things are going to change by you and you and you and me being absolutely transformed by the gospel, and that pouring out of us into other people that will experience God's grace and will be saved and will be redeemed and will keep moving forward, just like Tori talked about. Every one of us, man, can have that story. I am a completely different person than I was a year ago, and because of that, man, we can talk to other people and their lives can be completely different too. Man, that's the mission that God's given us, and we can live that out. And I mean really live that out every single day in our lives. Man, I talk about this all the time, but we got to remember this. The number one thing that Christ said to us, the most important thing, love God with everything in you and love your neighbor as yourself. Church, we don't need a different mission than that. Man, if we could live that out, I mean really live that out, love God with everything in you, give your whole life to God, everything in your life to God, and then, man, love other people with everything in you too, man, that can change the world. That has the power to change the world in Jesus Christ. We don't need anything less than that. Believe that God can change the world. Believe that God can change the northwest side of Springfield. He's already in motion. Man, don't get left behind. Let's be a part of one, man, maybe one of the most epic stories that's been told in Springfield for a long time. Happy 2-year anniversary. I can't wait for 30 more. I love you, church. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, I thank you what you've called us to. God, I thank you that we came in not really knowing anything. Because God, that made us dumb enough just to say yes to whatever you said. And God, that's the lives that we want to live. Not coming in with preconceived notions, not worried about how content we can be, but just knowing that you love us, that you saved us, and that you redeemed us. And if we trust you and we chase after you, you're going to tell us exactly where we need to go. And if we follow you, we'll be right where we need to be. God, I pray that can be the story of Freshwater Church and its people. A bunch of people that don't want any credit, don't need any credit, because they don't deserve any credit. All we know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. All we know is bringing you glory. All we know is we advance the gospel because we love you, and you've made us more like you, and we want other people to know the joy and the fulfillment and the purpose, the eternal purpose that comes with knowing you. And God, that's all we want. Your name to be made renowned. And God, we thank you that you are moving and that you're stirring, that you're bringing the entire city to look at this side of town. God, I pray that you would use that in powerful ways, that it wouldn't just be some other city initiative, but this side of town would thrive, would be restored to everything that you would have it be. Because people like us, broken people like us, are who you choose to use to bring your name glory. God, if there's anybody in here that feels like they're not good enough, feels like they're too broken, feels like they've ran away from you for too long, or they've just done too many terrible things in the past, man, God, I pray that you would help them to see that it's not about them. And that's the best news in the universe, because if it's not about them, Jesus, if it's about you, all that stuff can go away. All that stuff can be forgiven. If it's about you, Jesus, man, you're where our forgiveness comes. You're where our redemption comes. You're where our power comes. So we can just set ourselves aside and say, Jesus, I am yours. So whether there's people in here today that don't know that truth, God, I pray that they would give their lives to you today. But for the rest of us who do know you, man, I pray that we would live in that truth. Because that's the only mission we're ever going to need. Because it's what we were created for, chasing after you and spreading it around in Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you how they've given up their lives. They've walked away from the things that they've been chasing to chase after you. I thank you for the growth in this room. God, I thank you for all the amazing prayers that you've answered over the last 2 years. God, I pray that you'd give us 30, 40, 50 more. And when we look back in 30 years, Northwest Springfield is completely different than it was before. And the only thing we can say is praise the glory of God. Help us to pray believing that's possible, believing that that's your big, and believing that our prayers have that much power. Simply because we're not good people. Because we're Jesus people. And because of you, Jesus, we pray of all of this in your name. Amen.